Good to see everybody here this morning. We obviously have a number that are gone today, and there's when you look at our prayer list, you wonder how we could possibly have so many here. We've got so many that we are rightfully concerned about, and yet it's so good to see each one of you here. Appreciate your faithfulness in being here. I know that our duty on the first day of the week is to come and to honor God and to honor Christ. But it's also our privilege to do so, and so we are blessed to be able to do this. I've got several things that are going on right now, and not the least of which is a wedding that's coming up. Very happy time and a very busy time, and also with Mom in the hospital, but just kind of hanging in there right now. We're hoping she'll be able to get a little bit better and get to come home quickly. But I've got some family coming in. My brother and sister will both be here this week, and so that long way around the barn, I guess, to say that Carolyn and I are looking forward to taking a few days off next week. But we still need somebody to fill in next Sunday evening. One of our gentlemen would be preferable, so it's not my farewell. But if you would like to do that, we do have a guest speaker next Sunday morning. And so just see me where I will see you. I think Zach filled that last time, so give Zach a break, and maybe somebody else if they would like to step in. I know you'll be capable of doing that. And then finally, please come and support them. There's nothing more encouraging when you're starting to preach and give a lesson than to have the encouragement of those that you respect and love. And so be thinking about that as well for next Sunday morning and next Sunday evening also. Mention that about Mom. Mom went to the hospital this last week, and I guess it was Tuesday night, and went back and forth all week. And on Friday, it was just shocking how much she had just kind of gone down. She was just experiencing a number of different things, and so I started inquiring about a doctor. What's the doctor saying? Because she's got a kind of contagious illness on top of everything else she's going through, can't go and stay as long as we would like to. And so long and short of it was that there hadn't been a doctor that had seen her. As a matter of fact, she thought there had been. She said, "Oh, no, I've got a doctor," because it was getting a little difficult for him. So they called in his supervisor. And I said, "Mom, doctors don't have supervisor." Now, they're like the captains of a ship. And so they do have a very capable resident there. But anyway, there was a gentleman that was helping with one of her breathing treatments and been there a long time. And he said, "I get in trouble for saying things like this, but," he said, "in this situation, sometimes if the family really needs to contact the doctors." And so I went on Friday and went and talked to her cancer doctor, who was gone already. It was the afternoon, and talked to one of the nurses there. And apparently she contacted the doctor, because by the time I got back to the hospital 20 minutes later, there was a doctor there, and he had assembled the staff, and then he met with them out at the desk, at the nurse's desk, to try and get them some information that would help in that situation. I was very appreciative for that, but I just think there are times where we see physical things like this. There's a physical need, and because we love people, and because we realize that they need help, and because we realize that there are those who can help them, that we will step in and try and get them to the person that can help. But how often do we do that with the most important facet of life? How often do we see our friends and our family who are struggling? We love them, and we see a situation, we know they're struggling, and we know that if they could establish the relationship with God and with Christ, that God and Christ not only command, but which they desire because they love us, if they could come in contact with them, their lives would turn around. And yet we don't do that all the time because we're a little hesitant in that area. We feel a little presumptuous in that area. I have to admit, Carolyn's and my, all four of our parents in the last few years have been in and out of the hospital, and this is the first time where I've ever felt like I had to go and outside and I don't want to say sneak around behind somebody's back, but go get help. I wonder how many times we see somebody really struggling in life, and while we have a relationship with Christ that we know benefits us tremendously, we almost feel disloyal or like we're not treating them right by suggesting that they need Christ in their life. Turn over to Mark chapter 2 if you would and notice this very type of a situation and notice what was done, because I think it gives us a pattern for what we can do. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this: a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat. The paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever gone to the extreme of tearing down through a ceiling, a roof, to bring somebody in to get them help? And of course, we haven't. That's not something that we do, is it? Isn't it true that these four men did just that? And isn't it true that these four men did something that was so unusual that it would have demanded explanation? You're digging down through somebody's roof. You better be convicted of that explanation, because you're going to be given it. And if somebody comes through your roof this evening, you're going to want some kind of an explanation. And so there are several things that we see here. First of all, they saw the need of the paralytic, and they loved him, and they realized that he needed Jesus, and so they brought him to Jesus. Now, let me ask how that pattern would change some of the lives of some of your family and some of your friends. You have friends and family that are struggling with different things. Things that there is no way they can handle that by themselves. Nor did God ever intend for them to handle these things by themselves. But you have got to see the need, and you've got to love them enough to bring them to Jesus, or you can't help. You might be able to ease some suffering. You might be able to take care of a physical thing or two. But when it comes to the spiritual, only Jesus can help. And you're going to have enough faith in Christ to realize he can help for you to ever get to the point where you will be willing to go that extra length that it takes to bring some people to Jesus. Because some people, you have to do nothing less than tear through a ceiling and drop them down in front of them. Because people have pride. We all have pride. Sometimes we have a sinful pride that prevents us from acknowledging the fact that we too need Jesus. Every one of us, I suspect, that is here at one point or another has admitted that, but maybe we've forgotten. Maybe we've gotten comfortable. Maybe we like where we are in life. Maybe things are falling into place for us. We're financially secure. We're winning the games. We're doing okay in school. Our health is good. Do we need Jesus anymore? Did we ever need Jesus? Or are we just paralyzed and not realizing that? But again, this, I believe, is going to be the key. It was certainly the key with my mom on something as simple as a physical thing. Seeing a need, loving her enough to try and get her some help, and then bringing her or somebody to her that could help. Spiritually, this is exactly what we must do. This is what we're called to do. And so the question is, will we do it? Do we even believe it's needed? Matthew chapter 11 and 28. This is one of my favorite passages because it really does show that we're not on our own. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Think about that for a moment. Think of a physical example where you're called upon to carry 5,000 pounds on your back. Can you do it? And the answer is no, you cannot do that. Could you carry 100? Yeah, maybe so, with some effort. Some of y'all are strong enough, it wouldn't take as much effort for you as it would for some of the rest of us. Maybe the most you could carry would be 50 pounds or 20 pounds. Maybe a couple gallons of milk would be the extent of your strength physically. But 5,000 pounds, there's just no way. And yet, this is essentially the word picture that Jesus is giving to us. You've got burdens that you cannot carry on your own, but he is willing to help you with that burden. If you take that same 5,000 pounds and you put it in a cart with good wheels, and then you get in the yoke with somebody else who's going to help you pull that, you could, for a while, pull that 5,000 pounds with somebody that was yoked with you, that was up to the task. Jesus is up to the task. He will take care of anything you cannot take care of, but you got to get in the yoke with him. Now, what has that got to do with real life? I can remember in 1973 or so, I read a book called That Was Then, This Is Now. It was written by somebody named S.E. Hinton. I always figured S.E. Hinton was a tough gang member or something. S.E. Hinton also wrote another book called The Outsiders. They were gang books. But That Was Then, This Is Now was a book about drugs and struggling against drugs. And the person that was one of the main characters in the book finally succumbed to it at a very young age, died of an overdose of drugs. And that was really my first introduction. By the way, S.E. Hinton was a lady who wrote really good, so well that you thought she was a gang member or something that just had come out of that. But good book. But again, at that time, I didn't know anybody who took drugs. I lived in Denver, Colorado. I did know people who took drugs. I just didn't know they were taking them. But as the years have gone by, I've been around a lot of drugs, unfortunately. I have seen drugs among adults that have torn up families. I have seen spouses in misery because their spouses were taking drugs. I have seen children going through a type of a hell on earth because mama or daddy were taking drugs. Getting off drugs is hard. But, by the way, I've also seen people go to prison because of that. And I've seen friends here in Happy, Texas die from drug overdoses. It's a difficult thing. It's a 5,000-pound burden that they cannot carry on their own. I've also seen people involved with alcohol in the same situation. Just doesn't maybe show as much strain as readily as drugs do. But let me ask you this. Is it more bearable to just go ahead and to have that drug addiction and for every waking moment think about how am I going to get enough drugs in my body to not feel sick today? And to finally get those drugs in your body and then just check out until the next day when you wake up and you start wondering about getting enough drugs in your body for the next day? Or is it easier to go through the painful withdrawals of giving up the drugs? And the answer is it's easier to go through those painful withdrawals, but it's not easy. For those who have ever given up an addiction, you know that there are addictions that are so difficult to give up, it consumes you. Just like your addiction did, now giving up this addiction consumes you. And yet, I would say to you that if we go through this with God and with Christ, whatever our addiction is, we can do it. We don't have to carry that 5,000 pounds around. He'll trade us for a 40-pound burden that is bearable with Him, side by side in the yoke. But you got to have enough fortitude, you have to have enough character, you have to have enough something left within you to do that. Carolyn was reading somewhere or seeing or listening to some kind of a podcast the other day that was talking about the terrible problem that America has with pornography right now. And the terrible problem that is even within the church right now. And as with any sin, it becomes addictive. I'm not giving people a pass on it any more than I would give somebody that was addicted to drugs a pass on it. We have to come out of it. But there are things that will take a lot of effort for you to do. But do we see it? Or do we treat it like it's nothing? As a matter of fact, do we treat Jesus' sacrifice like it's nothing and go ahead and do whatever it is that our main sin that we kind of take care of in our life? Or do we bring our sins to Jesus and allow Him to bear our burden? Maybe our burden is one with an absolute lack of patience or an anger or gossiping or whatever it is. It's just as destructive as some of these other things we've talked about, just a little more socially acceptable. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." There comes a point where we have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired because of our sin bringing us down and bring it to Jesus and do it on His terms. And there also has to be a point in our life where we love our friends and our family enough who we see are struggling, even though they may not recognize the struggle at the time, to bring them to Jesus, to dig down through that roof and then have be able to give the explanation. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 46, Jesus talked about another group of people who claim to be burden carriers, but they're actually burden makers. Jesus replied in verse 46 of Luke 11. I'd encourage you to go back and look at the context on this, but you'll see that the context is pretty self-explanatory. "You experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." There are so many people in the religious world, whether it's somebody who carries some kind of a religious title that God never authorized, or somebody that fulfills a function of preaching, or somebody that's a parent, or somebody else that has created a religious burden for somebody. They have inaccurately handled the Scriptures, and they have told them, even though God said this isn't the way, they've told them, this is the way to salvation. And people who think that they are saved but have done nothing that has anything to do with God's commands then have to go through this burden in life. There are other burdens they heap upon them. I don't know how much of the religious world talks about tithing right now. Do you realize we don't tithe in the New Testament? We give as we've been prospered. We give with a cheerful heart. It may be more than a tithe. It may be less. Each one in accordance with his income. You decide that. But do you know how much of the religious world has decided, here's a burden I'm going to carry from the Old Testament? Why not just go ahead and have them bring in a sheep or something and make a burnt offering if we're going to bring the Old Testament into it? But we have all sorts of things like that, and we have people that are trying to make it easier. Oh, you don't want to be baptized. You feel a little uncomfortable being baptized. That's a little humbling to you. Well, we'll make it easier. Why don't you just invite Jesus into your heart? Where do you find that within Scripture? We don't. But they teach it. It becomes popular. People want their ears to be tickled with these types of things, and they do it. And then they carry a burden the rest of their life because their sins have never been washed away. Or those who have had their sins washed away have been convinced that grace will now cover everything and you can live a sinful lifestyle. And so you just go back into the sinful lifestyle with no repentance, no effort to get out of it. And you carry the burden of that. Or maybe it's just that we have a hard heart. Maybe it's just that my job comes first. Maybe it's even my family comes first. Maybe it's my recreation or my entertainment come first. Whatever it is, we put that before God and His commands. And the solution has always been, come to Jesus. You got burdens? He'll take them. He has requirements. It's like a drug addict. You've got this terrible burden. The solution is you've got to stop. You can get help. You can get people to help you with that. You can get Christ to help you with that. But you've got to stop. Otherwise, you continue to carry the 5,000 pounds on your own. What will we do in this? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. There is a part about our life that sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just expect Jesus to make us have a bed of roses once we have turned to Him. But notice what the Apostle Paul, who had a lot of sin in his life before he came to Christ, had his sin forgiven, was looking forward to heaven. Look what he says through inspiration. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Notice the gently part. You try and restore somebody in an ungentle fashion, you've got as much sin in your life as they do. You should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. See, this is one of the ways that Jesus helps us, is the church is there to help us carry our burdens. The idea of this type of a burden is that it's too much for you to carry by yourself. And so we help each other carry each other's burden. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. A lot of people don't like to think we're under a law anymore. We're not under the old law anymore, but we're under the law of Christ. He's got rules and regulations, and He's serious about them. If anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself. You see, there is a proper type of pride. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. And here we find the secret, do we not? There is a load that is acceptable. There's a responsibility God gives to each one of us. And it is a load. You got to put some muscle into it to carry it. But it's the burdens you don't need to keep. You don't need to keep the burden of unforgiven sin in your life. You just have hell waiting for you that way. Why would you do that? You don't have to keep the burden of all the different things that you have just kind of brought upon yourself, or maybe somebody else brought upon you due to no fault of your own. God and Christ have always had the agreement with us that if you will bring your burdens to me, those things that are unbearable, that you can't take care of yourself, the sin, they will take care of that. And they will exchange it with a load. You still got work to do. A lot of us don't want to hear that, but it's good. Don't you like satisfying work? I love work. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with me, but since I was a little boy, I like to work. I like to sweat. I don't like to be around people when I sweat, and people don't like to be around me when I sweat, but I like to work. Spiritually, we have a load to carry. And so the point is, carry it. Find out what the load is and carry it. But stop trying to carry that 5,000-pound load that you can't carry. It'll just crush you. Isn't that a neat arrangement that God and Christ have made with us? The New Testament is the new covenant. It's a contract. It's an agreement. When you and I come into a covenant relationship with Christ, we have obligations, but they also have obligations that they promise to fulfill. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and have confessed that, when you are convicted of your sin and you repent of it, when you have your sins washed away, you have that 5,000-pound burden lifted. Now, some of us will take it right back. And the solution for that is not to go through the whole process again. The solution is to repent, to ask for forgiveness, and to live again, and to carry the load that you need to carry, but not the burden. Which do you want for the rest of your life? God is there to help. Christ is there to help. But we need to do our part, first of all, by coming to Him ourselves, and then secondly, by bringing others to Christ. Won't you do that? I want to offer the invitation this morning. If anyone has a need to respond to the gospel's call, we would encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.